book is based on 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, where Paul instructs us to pray for our king. Now, you know, there may be some hesitation on some parts saying, he didn't know what we know. Well, did you know that the emperor or the king of Rome at that time was a man named Nero? Have you ever heard of Nero? Writing for the Christian Courier, historian Wayne Jackson calls Nero, and I quote, "one of the most despicable manifestations of human flesh ever to disgrace this planet." And yet, Paul wrote and instructed his readers to pray for Nero. Now, gratefully, we're not being instructed to pray for Nero, but we are being instructed to pray for our leader, President Donald Trump, Vice President, who's our Vice President? Vice President Pence, Mike Pence. Thank you. I shouldn't have started on that. I won't be able to remember all of them. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, our own Governor Greg Abbott, although I might just wedge in there. We're not praying for Joe Strauss right now, but we're praying for for Governor Greg Abbott, for Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, for our own State Attorney General Ken Paxton. We're also praying for Senator James Lankford and for the United States Supreme Court. We've got all these people on our list that that we're praying for because Paul instructs us to. This has been a 49-day study, and today is day 49. Our assigned focus for today is praise. This is an appropriate way for us to end our study. You know, the study has been on praising and praying. Last Sunday, our emphasis was on praying, and this morning, then, our emphasis is on praising, so we're closing out our study appropriately. Let me say this, praising God is absolutely the most joyful of all interactions with God. Now, here's where I want to start, I think. For the most part, we don't understand praise. I think we have kind of an offset understanding of praise and why God might ask us to praise Him. It doesn't occur to us that praise, in a general sense, might actually be good for us, good for our spirit, good for our soul, good for our attitude, good for our general outlook on life. The March 2016 issue of Psychology Today carried an article entitled, "It's Not All About You." And the article mentioned several secular sources commenting on the need for a sense of awe, a sense of praise, a general sense of awe and praise as we go through life. Let me share some of this with you. For example, University of Pennsylvania researchers defined awe as, and I quote, "the emotion of self-transcendence, a feeling of admiration and elevation in the face of something greater than self." Here's another. These are generally secular comments. Popular theoretical physicist wrote this: "Awe gives you an existential shock. You realize that you are hardwired to be a little selfish, but you're also dependent on something bigger than yourself. Praise is the way to remove the tyranny of ego." These are all secular authors. Therapist Robert Leahy writes, "Awe is the opposite of rumination. It clears away inner turmoil with a wave of outer immensity." And the article goes on and says this: "When people experience a sense of awe, they feel more empathetic and more connected with others. Wonder and awe pulls us together, a counterforce to all that seems to be tearing us apart." All that to say, according to secular research, each of us, all of us, need to go through life with a sense of awe, with a sense of wonder, with a sense of praise for something or someone outside ourselves. It's healthy for our mentality, for our spirit. Praise in a general sense is good for us. But our focus this morning is going to be on praising God, which is doubly good. or triply good. Is that even a word, triply? Triply. It's very, very good for us to praise God. And that's where we are here this morning. You may have heard of Thomas Aquinas, great historical theologian. He wrote this: "We praise God not for his sake, because he is of himself full of glory, to which no creature can add anything, but for our own sake." Now, we're going to be looking at Psalm 100 this morning, a very well-known passage on praise. But with your permission, if you're looking there at Psalm 100, I want to begin right in the middle of that little short chapter with verse number 3. Look at this with me. Praising God, or praise God for being our Creator. Look at this. "Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture." Can we think of a better reason for praising God than He made us? He created us. He is our author. I can't think of a better reason myself. He's your author. He thought you up. He figured you out. God imagined and designed and assembled all our pieces. And you may say, "Well, Pastor, some of my pieces are starting to mess up on me." Yeah, I know. Me too. But, you know, let's back up. We live in a fallen world. We live in a sin-tainted world. God's original design for us, all of our pieces were excellent, but because we live in a sin-tainted world, some of our pieces are starting to mess up and fail on us. But listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Paul says, "Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. In this way, death spread to all men because all sin." So we're living in the middle of a mess created by sin. We want to get beyond that here this morning and take a more accurate look. Let's give God credit where credit is due. In spite of the destruction of sin all around us, God's creation is brilliant and beautiful beyond description. I'm no scientist, but I know this. Not all scientists are evolutionists. Many, many, many of them are creationists. They examine the same evidence, and they say, no, all this didn't come about by happen chance. They look at the same evidence, and they say, no, this was all brought by a creator, an intelligent mind, an intelligent being, a powerful force. Like John Polkinghorne, theoretical physicist, claims that the equations that guide physics point to a creator. He said this, and I quote, "Physicists are deeply impressed with the order of the world. It is rationally beautiful and structured, and the feeling that there is a mind behind it is a very natural feeling to have. I think the feeling of wonder and awe, which is fundamental to all the experience of physicists, is fundamentally a religious experience, whether people want to admit it or not. Overwhelmed with creation. Physicists are overwhelmed with the order of creation." Other creationists point to research in the field of bioacoustics. This is interesting. Revealed that we are surrounded every day by millions of ultrasonic sounds. For example, the electron shell of the carbon atom produces the same harmonic scale as the Gregorian chant. I don't know what the Gregorian chant is, Daniel, but that sounds pretty impressive. It sounds pretty impressive to me. Meadowlarks have a range of 300 notes. Supersensitive sound instruments have discovered that even earthworms make faint staccato sounds. Arnold Sommerfeld, the German physicist, has observed that a single hydrogen atom, which emits 100 frequencies, is more musical than a grand piano, which only emits 88 frequencies. Science writer Lewis Thomas summed it up this way. He said, "If we had better hearing, we could discern the singing of the sea and birds, the rhythmic drumming of schools of Molochs, and even the distant harmonics of flies hanging over the meadow in the sun. The combined sound might lift us off our feet. And you got to pardon me on this, by the way. This stuff fascinates me. I don't know if it does. You may be bored by all this, but this stuff fascinates me. That we look in nature and we see God's hand, God's brand on so many things, and yet evolutionists go, duh, it just happened. It just happened. And I've got way more of this at home than I can possibly share with you this morning, so bear with me just a little longer. A total of 3,000 researchers, over a 10-year period, by the way, have submitted the first ever census of marine life, in which they say they've discovered 6,000 new marine species. That's over a 10-year period. An article in the Environmental News Service says, the scientists who worked on the project were constantly stunned by the diversity, abundance, and beauty of what Christians call God's creation. One vice chair of the project said this, and I quote, life astonished us everywhere we looked. The discoveries of new species and habitats both advanced science and inspired artists with their extraordinary beauty. Another one of the scientists said this, the most surprising thing was the beauty. Our eyes pumped out of our heads in front of this beauty. So here we have folks overwhelmed with God's physics, overwhelmed with God's music, and overwhelmed with God's beauty. And they're even claiming, oh, those Christians, and we tend to kind of agree with them, they say it's God's creation. Absolutely it's God's creation. Absolutely it's God's creation. And I've gone a long way to kind of say this quickly. We, by the way, beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we are God's crowning glory. We are the ones God created after he created everything else, and God looked and he said, oh, this is very good. This is very good. Now, you may not feel that way all the time as you look inside, as you look in the mirror in the morning. You may not say, yeah, this is very good, you know. But God looks at us and he says, oh, this is excellent. This is very, very good. So as we think about praising God this morning, one of the things the psalmist gives us here in Psalm 100 is praise God because of his creation, because, folks, it is some awesome creation. And you're the crowning glory of it. You're the crowning glory of it. All right. Another thing, looking at verses 1 and 2 now. Praise God for being our King. We talked about this last Sunday, but it's such a frequent teaching in Scripture. Look with me here at verses 1 and 2. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. And by the way, that word serve is the same word for worship. Same word. Now, this describes pretty common reception giving to returning kings. Israel routinely turned out and welcomed King Saul and later on King David with this very same kind of a response. They praised their kings because they had authority over them. Kind of a sidebar here. This picture of royal reception in mind, the psalmist in Psalm 98, you can't see this if you don't have your Bible open in front of you, but in Psalm 98, just two chapters back, we see there that God is called kingly, that's called the kingly praise psalm. So God's being talked about the same way as these kings. Same thing in Psalm 66, Psalm 95. So in addition to praising God for being creator, it's also a delight to praise God for being our King. Notice the realm of God's kingdom. It's pretty vast. Verse 1, shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. So We praise God because He has authority over the whole earth. You may know that there is a movement, and apparently a growing and pretty serious movement today, for California to secede from the Union. That's that. I wasn't trying to pull that out of you. I wasn't trying to pull applause out of you. It'll be called, of course, the Nation of California. Spokesperson Louis Martinelli said this: California is a different place and has its own culture, its own history, its own identity, its own worldview, its own ideology, in a large respect. So we would feel better off if we can set our own destiny, set our own path forward, and not be connected to a lot of those obsolete policies of the American system. You're obsolete. Your philosophies are obsolete. Now, you know, before they can do that, they have to solve their financial catastrophe, right? They got no money. In fact, they owe money. They got to figure out, you know, a military. Can you imagine a military California put together? Can you imagine a military put together by California? And they've got to build a wall. Not a wall to keep people out, a wall to keep their people in. Their people and their industries are all fleeing, trying as best they can to get to the more well-managed state of Texas, right? California's all coming to Texas. Well, okay. Enough said about that. I think they're going to fail. I think they're going to remain under the authority of America, whether they like it or not. I know this, the whole earth is going to remain under the authority of God, whether they like it or not. The whole earth may not praise God as king yet, they're going to one day. But for right now, the whole earth is under the authority of God, whether they like it or not. The psalmist here is saying, praise God as our Creator, and praise God because He's King of the earth, whether the earth likes it or not. One final thing. Praise God for being our keeper. Verse 4 and 5. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love is eternal. His faithfulness endures throughout all generations. Now, in other places in the Bible, God's described as being our keeper, our protector, the one who watches over us. Verse 5, there kind of fleshes out that concept for us as our keeper. Verse 5 says three things about God. It says, God is good. The Lord is good. His love is eternal. His faithfulness endures. Now, let me just ask you something. Do those three statements quiet your heart like they do mine? I mean, when I read that the Lord is good, His love is eternal, and His faithfulness endures, I got to tell you something. As I live in this unstable world, I was just talking to one of our men as I came in here this morning. Pastor, what's happening to the world around us? It's falling apart. And yeah, it is. It is falling apart. And if we're not careful, we can become a little bit frightened. Our hearts can become anxious. So it gives me a peace. It gives me a sense of calm to read that the Lord is good. His love is eternal. His faithfulness endures. I'm sure that's why the psalmist says there in verse 4, give thanks to Him and praise His name. Give thanks to Him. For what? Did you know that you take about 23,000 breaths a day? Your body, 23,000 times, takes in oxygen and then exhales. It doesn't exhale oxygen. Your body takes in oxygen and then exhales something else. It exhales carbon dioxide. So in every breath you take, there is this magnificent transaction where oxygen is breathed in, and then your lungs switch from inhaling oxygen to exhaling something else. So there's this miraculous switching of functions. I mean, instantly, there's this biological and perfect and miraculous transfer of functions where your lungs breathe out carbon dioxide and then instantly, again, breathes in oxygen. Let me ask you a question. How did you learn how to do that? How long did it take you to figure that out? How are you able to do that while you're going on with the other functions of life? Don't you get preoccupied with that miraculous transaction going on all the time? So much so that how can you do anything else while you're watching over and managing that miraculous transaction? I'll tell you how. You don't do it. You didn't figure that out at all. God figured that out. From the first moment the doctor slapped you on the rear end, God said, breathe. And without even knowing how to do it, you began breathing. And ever since that day, 23,000 times a day, you've been breathing. And you say, thank God for what? Give me a break. What about your heart pumping? What about all the other reflexes going on in your body? God does that. It's a miraculous thing, people. It's a miraculous, miraculous thing. Are we grateful? A man named Herman Wouk, W-O-U-K, 102-year-old Pulitzer Prize-winning author, grew up in the Bronx. I've been there. It's a scary place. It used to be. He writes this, "My childhood bedroom faced the sun. I grew up on Aldous Street in the Bronx, where my family lived on the top floor of a 5-story walk-up in an apartment at the end of the hall. Each morning from my bed, I'd see a beam of sunlight with motes dancing through it pass through the window. I felt good right away. The morning sun is cheering no matter what mood you're in. I have the same excitement each morning now whenever I see the sun. That sense of enjoying being alive is still very real to 102. When you reach 102, you're grateful to God you're alive. You're very grateful to God you're alive. I'm not 102. I'm getting there pretty quick. But are we grateful to God? The psalmist says here, praise God just for being our keeper. Yeah, you got a lot of other stuff going on in your life. You do. You have a lot of other stuff going on in your life. Painful things, fearful things. God's in control of all that because God is our keeper. So we come to the end of this 7 weeks. We come to the end of these 49 days. By saying, in the midst of all that's going on in life, in the midst of all the other distractions, in the midst of all the other complications, let's live daily praising God. Pray with me. Father, we don't have it figured out at all. We want so deeply to be in control. We think we do. We want so deeply to fix things according to our definition of fixing things. We kind of get a long way from this very basic concept that we owe life, every breath, every beat of the heart, every reflexive action, every joy, every laugh, every smile, every blessing. We owe all of that to you. And we just pause and acknowledge you as our King, as our Keeper, and as our Dad. And this morning we're going to deliberately let go of every fret, every worry, every anxiety, every burden. We have no influence over those things anyway. We're going to release all of those into your hands. And we're going to rest in you and praise you for being so good to us. We're going to take just a moment with your head bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to give you a chance to pray just as I have prayed. You're not in control of anything. You never have been. Every fear, every frustration, every failure, it's all under the sovereignty of God. He's in control. Trust it into His hands and rest now. Thank you, God, for being God. Thank you for being my King. Thank you for being my Dad. I'm going to rest in you now. Because you are glorious. Up here at me for just a moment. It's our custom when we come to the end of a study like this to give those in attendance an opportunity to say yes to the Spirit of God as he's dealing with us. So if today, as we've spent time in Scripture, if the Holy Spirit has kind of been weighing heavily upon your heart and you've come to this time and you recognize maybe you don't belong to Jesus, but you want to become a follower of His. You want to trust Him and follow Him for the rest of your life. Let me encourage you to come on down here to the front. Let's pray together. Will you come? Maybe some other decision He's laying upon your heart. It may be that you're not a regular attender, but God's laid upon your heart today. This is where He wants you to begin worshiping here. Then come on down. Let's pray together. Let's make that solid. I know there are many here today who've come with a heavy burden on your heart. And I'm going to invite you to do this. I'm going to invite you to leave that burden laying right there in the pew beside you. As you get up and leave, it remains here. That burden remains here. And you leave today with a new praise, a new joy to God's faithfulness. And we're going to sing, and as we sing, you make real those things. Let's all stand together.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me
Precious Heavenly Father, we come here today in this place recognizing you as our Creator, our Protector, and our Savior. Lord, I pray a special prayer that each and every one here in this church today will open up their heart and let the Holy Spirit come in and dwell. Throw out all that clutter and junk that we have in our heart, come into our heart, Lord, and lead us, guide us, direct us to be more like you. Today, Lord, I know there's somebody here that needs to make a decision, and you just weren't ready to do it. I need to let you know, tomorrow is not guaranteed. I know this from experience, as many others do here. Don't leave this place without opening up your heart to Jesus Christ. If you will, He'll come in and He will comfort you and He will make your life such a better life to live. Lord, we pray that you'll give a special blessing to our offering. We pray that it'll be used to help further your kingdom. This we ask in thy name. Amen.